I'd like to take you with me a little bit on an excursion in chapter Luke, in Luke. And when I was praying this afternoon, I came quite strongly to go to Luke chapter 7. And our Lord has multiples of peoples that he walks with on his journey in restoring Israel. And he finds a lot of people, but they're not really alive for God. Their abilities to believe are restricted because of tradition, because of rebellion, and because of not fully comprehending that the gift of faith is kind of dormant. So when Jesus, verse 1, had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and there a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard about Jesus, or heard of Jesus, and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Watch the qualifications. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. Now here is, I believe he would be a Roman centurion, and he loves Israel. And the elders are convinced that Jesus can do something. Do you think because they've already experienced something or have seen something and has built our synagogue? Isn't that an awe? He has built our synagogue. Now the elders of the city are saying that a foreigner, not a Jew, built their church. So he deserves to have his servant healed. Right? He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you." Now I'd like to talk to you about, I've heard those words under the wrong anointing. I've heard those words out of religious minds and religious mouths. And they don't have any value when they're out of a religious background. And I'm not judging religion. God does. What I'm trying to say to you is, when the heart is speaking and it's coming from a human being that is humble and contrite before God and before man, you can tell the difference. You register it inside as, this one is real. How many know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, put your hand up. That's discernment. That's the gift of discernment that is inside of every single one of us, but it needs to grow. So this man is not putting on a snow job. Is he? Because if he was, there would be no fruit. Then he says, but say the word and my servant will be healed. Now verse 8 gives you why. He says, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go, and he goes. And that one come, and he comes. I say to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd, following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Now, if you take this and look at what Jesus is really saying about Israel and about the level of belief, the level of trust that has been lost. At one time, Israel was to be envied by every nation. But she's come from an incredible height to an unbelievable low. And even a foreigner becomes an example to them of what faith is all about. And what belief is all about, and what humility is all about. Verse 10. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Now, the servant was healed. Did Jesus send the word? Did Jesus send the word?
No.
No. Who sent the word? Yes! The centurion, his belief that it's already done. I believe the Lord had already used maybe a nod, an agreement that came. How many know sometimes you have an agreement with somebody and you just connect the eyes and you know that it's a done deal? There's a witness within you. It's done. I want you to back up to chapter 6, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. What kind of a man is the centurion? What is coming out of his heart?
Faith and belief
is coming out of this man. Because he knows who is in authority. And he knows that Jesus is one who is ruling and reigning in the heavenly kingdom. Several months ago, my son Gary calls. Things are having Well, things are difficult at home. He calls, Dad, you got to pray. I says, no, we got to pray. He wants to pawn the job off on me. Whose family's in trouble?
Yes.
So whose job is it to?
Pray.
Out of his mouth comes what? A scream for help. That's basically what it was. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to exaggerate. But, you know, he was panicking. Things are difficult. And I said to him, okay, let's hold it right there. Let's just agree. Now, we didn't know how to solve the problem. So when we don't know how to pray, what do? We prayed in the Spirit. So I reminded him, Romans 8 says, release your spirit and let the Holy Ghost direct the words that are going to come out of your spirit, man, so that your brain won't go into unbelief. So as we prayed, and it didn't take more than 30 seconds, we were already in a new realm. And Gary had a vision. And it solved the problem. It was a done deal. Now, was he really panicking? Well, he was anxious. Things were in need of repair. And God did it through the gift of our unity and our harmony. Why does God do that? Because he says, wherever there are two, two in agreement, asking of you anything, it shall be done of our Father, because of his love for us, and because of the harmony of the two. Amen? And out of the fullness of my son's heart, and out of the fullness of my heart, we saw fruit. Good fruit.
Amen.
You say, well, that's you guys. I never get answered for prayer. Well, do you believe when you pray? Or are you just questioning and doubting? James chapter 1 says, don't doubt. Stick to the word that has come forth out of your heart and stay with it until it gets completed. We have a tendency to doubt. Can anybody tell me who is the one that knocks on your brain and says, what if? Yeah. I heard a message on that the other day. And the enemy's sermon is, what if? And boy, was that good news. What is the enemy's sermon? His sermon is to get you off track. To blow up the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you won't cross to the other side. Will he complete his mission? Not if the angels of God are on the job. Amen? So we agree that the Lord's angels are on the job, but then we start what? Questioning. And we are not pulling down the strongholds. The thought patterns, which I've talked to you about. Those thought patterns that keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And they reestablish their what? Their position and their truth. Their truth, not God's truth. The Word of God says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the... Yeah. So what do? We question. We doubt. Because the enemy is playing a little song and we end up singing with him. The centurion didn't sing the song, did he? He was a humble man. He was a man of authority. He understood the Lord and his quest.
Amen.
What's wrong with us? Why is there so much unbelief still operating in us? Why do we waver back and forth? Are we questioning as how many bombs have already been laid into the riverbed underneath the base of that bridge? Because that's, if I remember correctly, they put dynamite packs in the middle of the night. These were prisoners, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were prisoners. It's coming back now. And they would sneak in the middle of the night and they would just hide their little plan. And they were trying to escape. This man who was dying was valued highly. He had value. He had value to the centurion. But the elders found that the centurion had value to them. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a picture of what we should be like. He says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. So he was expecting to see faith in Israel, but he didn't find it. If he came to your house tomorrow, would he find it? Or would he listen to your mouth? Would he listen to my mouth? And I already confessed to you guys what happened to me Saturday morning. Okay? And I could have changed it, but I didn't. Somehow I wasn't turned on. I was on low. Flickering maybe. But the bottom line is, God's going to use this for His glory. God doesn't lose a beat, does He? Now watch the compassion of the Lord in verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to the town called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. Don't you love it? As He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was waiting, was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He just walked right by and kept on going. Do I get an amen? No, it's not what it says. When the Lord saw her, His heart went out to her, and He said, don't cry. Don't cry. What a word to give a woman who is trying to recover the loss of her son. Don't cry. I'm sure she probably just stifled everything inside of herself just to make everything stop. Then He went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, I can imagine. Can you imagine talking to a corpse? Young man, I say to you, get up. Now there's a word for you. Out of the fullness of Jesus' heart comes what? Life. Get up! Now, do you think Mama is now in shock? I believe she was in shock. Okay? The dead man sat up, and they all fainted. Right? Well, that's probably what they felt like doing. The dead man sat up and began to talk. Now they really dropped. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Do you think she's still crying? Yeah, I think so too. But the tears have changed.
Joy.
Right on. Okay. They were all filled with... So do you think this could have happened in the days of... I saw that today and I was jumping up and down and said, God, we are in the days of awe. The dead are coming to life. You say there's nobody dead here? You don't know how much death there is still left inside of each and every one of you. You have no idea how much death there is inside of us. Okay? So, and they praise God and our great... Wait a minute, I lost my page. Prophet has appeared among us, he said. They said, God has come to help his people. Isn't that a marvelous message for the days of awe? You know, when you see God showing us what's inside of us and then asking us to change it, because that's what he was really saying to the Israelites. Look, you've got an example from this Roman centurion. Believe. Just simply believe. Get rid of the unbelief. Expose it. When you see the exposition or the spattering of your mouth, shooting off unbelief or trying to, let's say, survive in the midst of a test, you're going to find yourself repenting quickly. That's my prayer for you. That you will see what your mouth has spoken. The negative words that come out of your heart. The unbelieving words that come out of your heart. And when you begin to see them, don't get upset. That's the grace of our God. When you begin to see yourself, that's God's grace. When you begin to see your flaws, that is God's grace, because you can do something about it. If you never see it, how can you operate on it? How can you cry out to Jesus, I can't do this, God. I don't know how. I don't have the ability. My unbelief is too big. Help! And when you come to him with a humble heart, he's going to do just what he did for the centurion. He's going to allow your faith to release healing. And it's going to start in those that you love. And it's going to start in you. Will you become an irritation for the enemy? Yes. Will he try to slap you down? Yes. Will he try to tell you it ain't going to work for you? Because who do you think you are? How about a servant of the Most High God? Try it on. Say, I'm a servant of the Most High God. So look out.
Look out.
I'm going to believe for the miracles that I need.
I'm going to believe for the miracles I need.
And I'm going to believe with a humble heart.
And I'm going to believe with a humble heart.
And I'm taking an example from the Roman centurion. I will come in humility and believe in God's grace.
Believe in God's grace.
For me?
For me.
And my household.
My household.
And some of my dead servants.
Some of my dead servants.
Well, come on. Dead servants and dead sons. How many know that if they're not born again and they're not walking and working with the Lord, that they are dead spiritually? Yeah. So would you put your Bibles down, please? I want you to make a circle. We're going to agree together. For those that are dead in our families, you heard our prayer. We believe tonight.
for the signs and the wonders and the celebration that is ready to break forth in the days ahead. But first, we ask that you would give us a heart to fast and pray for the Day of Atonement that begins Sunday night. Show us what to do and when to do it. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.